This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Welcome to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. This is your host, Tim Link, and I'm so glad you're joining me today. I'm super excited about our next author. She's an author and a photographer, and she's got this wonderful debut book called Abandoned, Chronicling the Journeys of Once Forsaken Dogs. It's a very moving, it's a beautiful book. It's heartfelt, but there's also some sad tears in there when I read through it. So I'm going to hit her up a little bit about the whole thing. Of course, we're talking to Catherine Carver, and we'll come back at the commercial break and talk to her a little bit about her book, Abandoned, Chronicling the Journeys of Once Forsaken Dogs. You're listening to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio.
Hi, this is Tim Link, animal communicator and pet expert, and host of Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. Have you ever wanted to know what your pet is really thinking? Do you want to find out if they truly understand what you're trying to tell them? Or wish you could build a better understanding and closer relationship with your pet? Well, now you can. Learning to Communicate with Animals is a four-part on-demand workshop. In the workshop, you'll learn the essential techniques that are necessary to communicate with animals, including what is animal communication, breathing correctly to achieve the perfect state to communicate with your animals at a deeper level, using guided meditation exercises as a method to communicate with animals, and how to send and receive information from your animals. So if you're wanting to learn how to communicate and connect with your animals at a deeper level, visit petliferadio.com/workshop and purchase and download Learning to Communicate with Animals. You'll be glad you did.
Let's Talk Pets on petliferadio.com.
Welcome back to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. Join us now is author and photographer Catherine Carver. And we're here to talk to her about her book, Abandoned, Chronicling the Journeys of Once Forsaken Dogs. Catherine, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, we're super excited. You know, I read the concept of the book, and then once I got the book, I read through it. And I wanted to say, you know, obviously, we're all about helping animals, rescuing animals, and doing everything we can. I'm a former president of a humane society, so that has definitely got a place in my heart. But the book did have some surprises for me as far as chronicling various dogs and the emotional aspects and the photography, the great photography you put into it as well. So I'll leave it up to you. Tell us a little bit about the book first, and then we'll delve into some details behind it.
Yeah, sure. So this book started and was inspired by my first rescue dog and my first dog ever that my husband and I adopted in 2011. And his name was Biscuit. And he came to us. He was found abandoned on the streets of North Carolina. And he just changed my life in extraordinary ways. And he physically and emotionally transformed. And he opened my heart, and he really made me quite curious as to what was happening to other dogs like him who are left abandoned or find themselves in shelters or rescue organizations. And that set me pretty much on this quest of whereby I photographed roughly 60 dogs of various breeds, ages, all different backgrounds. And I photographed them while they were at the shelter or rescue organization. Then I followed these dogs, and approximately a year later, I photographed the same dogs again. And written narratives accompanying each photos, which were derived from interviews with shelter and rescue personnel and also the adopters. And so what I hope people can take away and see in this book is the emotional and physical changes that the dogs experienced after they found their permanent forever home. And what was really interesting in this project is that mirroring my experience with Biscuit is that these adopters' lives were also equally enriched as to how the, you know, the dogs' lives were profoundly changed. And so it's kind of a twofold. You know, I didn't know at the outset how this would all unfold, if I would be able to get the dogs the second time. This concept just came to me literally on a summer day in 2012. And the images are black and white. They're all square. They all have black backgrounds. And that was done deliberately to keep a common thread through the images and also to keep the focus on the dog itself. So I'm hoping that the viewer can engage with that dog and really get, I'm hoping in the images that people really see the soul of the dog. So that's kind of a brief summary of what led me to do this and the concept of the project.
Yeah, it's a wonderful thing that you did, first of all, and it's beautifully crafted, beautifully put together. And you talk about the black and white photos. That was really touching to me because, you know, when I had mentioned that, you know, get contact that said, you know, would you be interested? I'm like, yeah, that's a topic I like. We're always here to support the animals. And I love the stories about how an animal is at a shelter or rescue and they are find their right and perfect forever home. And then later on, you know, have these wonderful stories and wonderful pictures. And so I was expecting something of that sort in my mind's eye. You know, we did have these colorful pictures and things where the dog's playing. But what you did here is crafted a book where you really got into the soul of each and every one of them, each and every animal, because it is a brief snippet, a brief story about, you know, how the animal's doing, the name, the background, but then the beautiful picture of the animal in black and white. And you would think, at least in being a novice photographer, we'll say that black and white, it's very intriguing, but, you know, will that really capture the soul of the animal? And I think it does a better job than if you would have done color photos.
Yes, I agree. I think in some ways, black and white is harder. But I never envisioned this in color. It really came to me the way the book is laid out.
I love how that does it. And it's not just a simple book. You know, I wouldn't call it necessarily a coffee table book, but it is a coffee table book. It's a topic book. It's something where I, you know, if when I have it sitting out and someone asks about it, we can pick up and peruse and learn about each of the animals. And it really is I call it a topic book more so than a, you know, it's not a picture book like you would see in a coffee table book. It's something you can really get a nice feel for what each animal's about and the stories behind each one. And then what rescue and helping the animal find the right and perfect home is all about. So when you put together the book and you went back later, two things that come to mind is what did the human companions of the animals, how receptive were they for you to come back in or the shelter folks and find out the update of the animal? And then with each dog, was there a surprise? Was there something that set you aback either as a collective or a particular animal?
So in this project, it took me over a decade to do this. And I had to get permission at the outset with the shelters and animal dog rescues, whereby they gave me permission to photograph these dogs and also would agree to give me information on these dogs. And they would also agree to connect me to the adopters to follow the dogs. And in exchange at the time to help get the dog adopted, I provided color photographs to help increase the chances that each dog would get adopted because the photographs of these dogs are really important. And as you probably know, there is a dog over population crisis in our country right now for a myriad of reasons that we don't necessarily need to get into. But the book is timely in this fact that there are so many dogs and animals who are in need of forever homes. And I hope that this book speaks to the fact that there are all sorts of dogs of ages, sizes, breeds that need homes. And so when I met the adopters post-adoption, most all of them agreed for me to meet them or go to them to photograph the dogs. And what my goal was, hopefully, like I said, this kind of all unfolded over a period of time, is that I would be able to capture visually some sort of change with the dog that the viewer could see. Some are more overt and some are more subtle. But my hope was that visually one could see what saving a dog's life looks like. And I thought that would be, no one had done a project like this before. And I thought that would be very profound for people to actually see. And they all were just, you could tell with all of them that they had found their home and they had become a family member, very, you know, just like Biscuit became our family member. You know, it's just part of your family, part of your life, part of your unit. And there's one dog in particular that had a very unique story, and that's Dagwood. And he was adopted by actually a nursing home assisted living facility. And there was one, I worked with five organizations, and one of these organizations was amenable for this dog to be adopted by an organization, because that's pretty atypical. And it turned out really great. Dagwood initially had a lot of separation anxiety. He was found abandoned in a home without food and water in Indiana. He ended up, all these dogs that I photographed were in the Mid-Atlantic region where I live. And it turned out to be wonderful. He became like the resident dog to all these, if you will, grandparents in quotes, who was so beneficial to them because, you know, not everyone has a friend or family member that can always visit. And he became the light in so many people's lives. I mean, transformative. So I've never heard of a story like this before or after Dagwood's story, but he was just adored and loved. And it was just such a unique story where he benefited. And so did all these people who lived there who just loved him.
Absolutely. All he needed was a good, perfect home and to come out of his shell and provide that love and the companionship and the attention. And I love how once the right and perfect home is found, the dog can really become themselves. They can show what they can do and who they are. And oftentimes, I know many of my in personal situations and the work that I do, as well as just interviewing people on the show, a lot of them thrive in ways that are least expected, whether it's to be training dogs or whether it's to be service dogs or companion dogs. These are dogs that, were basically forgotten, left aside and left alone. And, no one really cared. Be given the right and perfect opportunity, they can thrive.
Right. And also the humans' lives are so transformed. And I think that's a critical piece as well. It's a gift to the dog, and it's also a gift to yourself, because there's so many healing aspects. I learned to be more present. I'm a better human for having a rescue dog in my life. I can't imagine not having one.
Absolutely. I love that. Well, not to be a Debbie Downer on this, one of the other things that shocked me that about the book was you have dogs in here that didn't find those right and perfect forever homes or found it for just a short period of time. The one in particular that really hit home with me was the story of Charlie, who's a pit bull mix and sadly was euthanized. And not only the story of Charlie not finding his right and perfect forever home, but the photo caption that you put in there, it's basically just a black screen. It's a black mark, a square on the page. So we can imagine Charlie in our mind based on the story, but this one hit hard for me because not only do I not, like most people, don't want to hear about that side of it, though we know that it has to happen or it does happen. But the fact that you put a black square in there, tell us a little bit about that. How did you come about, that story as well as deciding, okay, I can't not put that in there?
Yeah, I thought this is an honest book. It's the vast majority of stories, the overwhelming majority of stories are very hopeful with very satisfying endings. However, dogs are facing euthanasia every day. And I thought it was important. There's roughly a handful of dogs in the book who did not, for whatever reason, find a forever home. And I purposely chose the black square because I think it really shows the void of the dog not there. And hopefully it does impact the viewer, because there is not a second image similar to all the dogs who have before and after images, if you will. So it felt really important to keep the reality of the situation facing these dogs threaded throughout the book, because it is there are so many dogs facing this on a daily basis. And I wanted to have a voice for those dogs as well, to hopefully encourage people to really see that this can be a life or death situation for many of these dogs, depending on the situation.
Absolutely. Absolutely. One of the other stories in the book was of Ursula, who's a terrier pit bull mix. And, we all know that pit bulls have gotten a bad rap. They're one of the most loving and family-oriented animals out there, dogs that are out there. But they got this bad rap basically due to what humans have put them through, put them in bad situations and not provide a loving home for them. But tell me a little bit about Ursula, because that one was interesting, the fact that Ursula was kind and loving. Everyone at the shelter loved Ursula, Ursula, after 2 months, was adopted, but then shortly, like a week later, was euthanized. Tell us a little bit about that particular story.
Yeah, that is perplexing and unnerving. So yes, she was adopted, and from what my understanding from the shelter is, they were told to, the adopters had a resident dog already, and they were told to gradually introduce these dogs. And it's my understanding that that's not necessarily what happened. And so there was an incident that brought Ursula back to the shelter, and she was ultimately euthanized. So it's heartbreaking because humans play such a role in this, right? And how dogs are integrated at home. And I think one of the things is that the shelter and rescue personnel are vital. These are people on the front lines, and we need them so desperately, right? But at the same time, sometimes at shelters, there isn't that bridge with fostering that some of the dog rescues specifically have, where you get to learn about the dog more, figure out what is going to be the best environment for the dog, which therefore leads to, and studies have shown this, leads to ending well with a permanent adoption, a good match. Whereas in the shelter situation, sometimes, like in this situation with Ursula, there isn't that extra support, you know, to help you, you know. Like I remember bringing Biscuit home. We adopted him from a rescue in Maryland, and we had like a point person, the director. It was fantastic. It was like bringing a baby home in some respect. It was all new because we had never had a dog before. So it was really nice to have that interaction and that access to the person to kind of coach you, if you will, and answer your questions to make sure you're on the right track and things go smoothly. And sometimes at the shelter, I think that piece can be missing, that like coaching aspect, if you will, that extra support, that because shelters are underfunded, understaffed. So, but we need them, right? Because these dogs need these shelters to hopefully get a forever home. So it's a complicated situation and problem with a lot of layers, I'd say. It's not just...
Yeah, it really is a fine balance. You're absolutely right, because without the shelters, you know, Ursula wouldn't have had a shot to begin with. But one of the things, you know, if you're going to adopt a dog, I tell my clients, tell people this all the time, you can't expect them to come into your house and know exactly everything to do. So you have to work with them. You have to stage it. You have to set them up for success and make sure that you're doing everything you can to have them be set up for a right and perfect forever home to be with you and your family. So it is a fine line, a balancing act. And, you know, your book, Abandoned, it hits it right on the head. It gives you a good feel for all aspects of it. It's not all feel good, but there's plenty of great feel good stories in there. But it also hits home in the fact that we need to do better. We always need to do better and help our dogs and our animals out for sure. Well, we're going to go to a commercial break real quick. We'll come back and talk to author Catherine Carver about her book, Abandoned. I want to talk to Catherine a little bit about writing in general and how she crafted the book. So everybody hang tight. You're listening to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio.
Gifts for my pets. Sparkle and love. Under the tree.
Elevate your cat's eating experience with the Cat Tree Tray. The Cat Tree Tray keeps your cat's food off the floor and is conveniently located on the cat tree. Go to cattreetray.com. Bring home a luxury French bulldog from the world-famous Tom King's Kennel. Premium French bulldogs from excellent European bloodlines. Superior puppy care and lifetime health guarantee for your perfect companion. Use code TOMKINGSMAGIC for a magical holiday discount. Visit TomKingsKennel.com and find your perfect Frenchie today. Your pets will be over the moon with sparkly jewelry from Over the Moon Jewelry. Beautiful handcrafted matching jewelry for you and your pet. Wire-wrapped, beaded contemporary necklaces, bracelets, and charms. Go to OverTheMoonJewelry.com.
Gifts for my pets. Joy in the air.
without a care.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. Continue our conversation with author Catherine Carver in her book Abandon, chronicling the journeys of once forsaken dogs. In this emotional book, as you could probably tell when we went into break, I got a little bit emotional about the whole subject of finding right and perfect forever homes for animals and what they had to go through to hopefully have that chance. And once they have that chance to succeed after that. When you put together the book, Catherine, and it was all done and dusted, what was your sort of takeaway from the whole thing as you saw it before it actually hit the shelves? Was it everything you had originally thought, or had it changed into something much bigger or much different than what you had originally set out to put together?
Well, at the outset, when this idea came to me and I decided to pursue it, I had no idea what I was embarking upon. The complexity of the project, what it was really going to take, what was all involved. So that was, it's definitely been a journey for me on a lot of levels. I've learned a lot. I've grown as a person. I think in the end with the book, it pretty much came together after going through that entire process to get to that point, to put it together, so to speak. It is in line with what I had hoped for. It just was many years in the making, but I'm proud that it's done, and I hope that people will enjoy it. And I also wanted to mention that a portion of my royalties are being donated to the SPCA International to help specifically helping dogs in need around the globe.
That's wonderful. So yeah, everybody pick up a copy of the book. When everybody does pick up a copy of the book and they read through it and they shed a few tears and they have a few smiles, that you accomplished when putting together the book, or was there something more that you were hoping for, or is there something that people are telling you that, wow, I really got this out of the book?
I think mostly the expectation with the book resided with me. In my overall hope, in the theme that runs throughout this book, is just I hope people see how wonderful these sentient beings are and the potential that they have. And also, it's a journey that you embark on with this, you know, individual animal, dog. And it's just a remarkable journey. And I stuck with this for so long because I just believe that it could lead to something to help these dogs. So that's really the reason why I stuck with it. And when Biscuit passed away, we had him for 2.5 years exactly. And a few months after he passed away, we adopted another rescue Shetland sheepdog, and her name is Victory. She came with the name. And the rescue in Maryland coordinated with the rescue in Michigan, and she came to us that way. I guess she was the one that was meant to be with us. And I believe Biscuit had a hand in that. And she's been with us as of this fall, 11 years. And she was about 2 when we adopted her, we think. So it's just amazing. So in those moments, you know, of fear, or like, am I ever going to finish? You know, I would look at her and just think, okay, we're going to just stick with this and kind of do my best to trust the process and see it through. So my first goal was to see it through. And then the second goal was, you know, to find a publisher. And then the next goal was to put together the best book possible. So it's been a long journey, but it's been very rewarding.
Absolutely. Well, it's definitely, well, I'm glad you stuck with it. I'm glad Biscuit sent you another pal to help you, to be amused, to push you forward to finishing the book, because it is quite an amazing book. And I want everybody to pick up a copy of the book. It's Abandoned, chronicling a journey of once forsaken dogs. It is definitely, as I said, I'm blessed to have this show and have a lot of authors I speak to. I keep a lot of the books that I get because I read through every single one of them, but there are certain ones that are displayed centerfold into my bookshelves, and this is definitely one that's going to be there. So kudos to you, Catherine, for putting together such a great piece of work.
Well, thank you so much.
Well, Catherine, where can people find out more about you, what you got going on, pick up a copy of the book, these type of things?
Yeah, you can pick up this book wherever books are sold, and you can learn more about the book and myself at katherinecarver.com, and that is K-A-T-H-E-R-I-N-E, Carver, C-A-R, V as in Victor, E-R.com. And there's lots of information along with dog rescue resources if you're considering getting a dog. So I hope that you'll check it out.
Absolutely. Well, we'll definitely get that posted. Everybody check out the site and keep on up on what Catherine's got going on. Learn a little bit about adoption and rescues and ways you can bring home your next right and perfect forever dog or animal of your choice. And of course, pick up a copy of the book. It's called Abandoned, Chronicling the Journeys of Once Forsaken Dogs. By Catherine Carver. Catherine, great, great job. Very heartfelt. I love it. And just keep up the great work. And don't make us wait another decade before the next one comes out, okay?
Thanks. Thank you.
All right. Well, we're coming to the end of the show today. I want to thank everyone for listening to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. I want to thank the producers and sponsors for making this show possible. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas for the show or any of the shows, you can go to PetLifeRadio.com. And we'll definitely answer your questions, entertain your comments, and bring on the people you want to hear from most. And while you're there, check out all the other wonderful shows. It's a cornucopia of barking, purring, and feathered fun. It's at PetLifeRadio.com. So until next time, write a great story about the animals in your life, and who knows, you may be the next guest on Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. Have a great day.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.